Welcome to The Watchman, 1 hour of great teaching on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our study today, continuation from what we were doing last Wednesday in regard to the times in which we are living and some of the interesting things that the Lord has been showing me in regard to this time, the time in which we live currently. Now, I want to get a few things, just an interesting perspective from the book of Habakkuk, because, you know, Habakkuk asked a question to God, which so many people have asked him. And it's interesting that all the times that people asked him the same question, Jeremiah asked him the same question, other people asked him the same question, but all the time he comes up with a different answer, and the answers depend on what it is exactly that he is plotting to do. Now, the answer for Habakkuk, although the book was written during the time just before Judah fell to the Babylonians, and at the time, of course, that was after the reign of Manasseh, which was one of the most evil kings of the kingdom of Judah, and there was a lot of wickedness in the place, a lot of wickedness, and you know, a scenario where the people who are actually trampled down and downtrodden because lawlessness has spread and everybody is doing things, you know, the wicked way. So anybody who tries to do things the right way is almost despised and trampled down. So this is and so Habakkuk rises out at about that time and asks the Lord the question, same question which so many other prophets asked the Lord before. And I'll start from chapter 1 verse 1, and says, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. And then it's the burden, of course, means message or whatever, the prophecy. Verse 2 says, O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and seize me, and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore, the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore perverse judgment proceeds. Now, this is the sort of thing that happens a lot of times, where in a situation where the law is powerless, and we've seen countries like, I think I would even say even ours has usually come to that point where the law is powerless, and power lies elsewhere, not in law, not in justice, because there is a certain level of plundering and violence that are, you know, prevalent in the land. And now the people who are trying to, in that point, to seek the Lord and, you know, seek his ways, find themselves almost at an injustice, because the ones who have chosen the path of evil come and trample them over, and the law is powerless, he says, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore perverse judgment proceeds. Now, that is usually the state of a nation when there is about to be a change, when God is about to come and bring about a change. Now, he says here, then the Lord replied him like this, because Habakkuk is asking, why is it like this? Why do you seem to be doing nothing when righteous people are made to suffer and they never get justice, and when they are plundered and nobody seems to do anything about it? Then this is what the Lord replied him, and I'll read just a bit of the reply. He tells him, look among the nations and watch, be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it were told you. Anyhow, he goes on to show him that God has an instrument of judgment which he is bringing on Judah because of that state of perverseness. And that instrument of judgment are the Chaldeans or the Babylonians, who would come and destroy the whole kingdom of Judah. Now, of course, at the time, nobody thought that was possible, because there was all these people who were telling them everything is good, things are going to be okay. And that was about the same time of Jeremiah, who was telling them that the judgment of God is coming, and they refused to believe it. So Here, Habakkuk asks the Lord the same question, and the Lord tells him, don't worry, I have an answer. These men will come, they will be fierce, they scoff at kings, and princes are scorned by them. They deride every stronghold, for they heap up earthen mounds and seize it. And but then he says, something else will happen to Babylon. He says, Babylon, having been used as an instrument of God's judgment, then in verse 11 of chapter 1 still, he says, then his mind changes and he transgresses. He commits offense, ascribing this power to his God, saying Babylon will be that strong because God has elected them to be that and to be an instrument of judgment to different kingdoms that had rebelled against God in different ways. For instance, Babylon first destroyed Assyria, the kingdom of Assyria, which was very wicked. And Assyria actually was really wicked because you know the story of how they started out. First of all, Nineveh, in the times of Jonah in the Bible, you know, was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. Very powerful, very strong, very rich, and very, very prosperous, and actually very populous, because there are about 120,000 people in that city. That's a big number by those days, absolutely a big number, a huge city. And, you know, a very prosperous city, but a lot of wickedness, a lot of sacrificing of children, a lot of what. So at the time that God sends Jonah to go and tell them to repent, otherwise they are going to be destroyed, and they heed the word of God, and they change their ways, and judgment is averted immediately. But then something happens. As soon as that happens, then, of course, the people of Nineveh stay in a state of fearing the Lord for some time. Until, of course, that whole judgment, Jonah and all that, you know what happens over the course of, you know, a generation. People become totally different and they are desensitized to what saved them from the judgment of God at that time. So what happened is, ultimately, they went back into their sin. Now, when God raised up Babylon as an instrument of judgment to all these kingdoms, firstly, the first empire that fell was Nineveh, because after 100 years after Jonah, they went straight back to where they were when God sent Jonah to save, to you know, to warn them and therefore save them from the judgment that was coming. After so many years, they forgot about it. They went right back there. So the first empire that was captured by the Chaldeans or the Babylonians, who were an instrument of God's judgment, was Assyria, and Nineveh fell under Assyria and Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom. Now the next one, which was due for judgment, was Judah. And this is what the Lord was telling the prophet Habakkuk, that don't worry, Judah, I'm going to use these people to judge them. But then he says, after they have done that and they have done my purpose, they will become proud and think that it's because of their God. You know, they will ascribe all the greatness that they will see to their God. Then they also will be due for judgment. And then the prophet asks a second question. Then he says, are you not from everlasting? O Lord, my God, my Holy One, we shall not die. O Lord, you have appointed them for judgment. And then he says, I'm going to paraphrase a lot of what he says. Then why, if you are the one who has appointed them, then why then do they grow so big and also become so proud? And they seem to be in charge of everything. And now there is even no sense of a fear of God in them. Then the Lord answers him. Now, the answer which the Lord brought at that time, he now gave him an answer which was not just for the time in which he lived. It was an answer that was all the way up to our time. And actually an answer in which God shows that there will be a judgment at a time later for all nations based on, you know, what they have chosen, either to follow the path of God or to follow the path of wickedness. But then he tells him, you know, that famous scripture, and says that the just shall live by faith. Okay, that which is quoted so many times by Paul and so on in the New Testament. But then he shows him that a time is coming when we wrap up all these judgments of all the nations, those that are wicked and those that are, you know, falling after the heart of God. And the judgment will be manifold in this earth before ever we go into, you know, another world. It will be manifold here. Now, last Wednesday, I was talking about the situation in which we live right now. And I was telling you that there are so many nations which are choosing one way or another. And actually, many of them have are in a point of, you know, decision-making where the nation could flip one way or flip the other way. And I told you there is a battle for the soul of so many nations. Now, the amount of blessing that they will get as nations will depend on which side they flip. Now, the time for the wicked, this is what the Lord was telling Habakkuk, the time for the wicked to prosper is coming to an end. And it is going to be very manifold in this world in a time very shortly. The time for the, and this is where he brings it out clearly, brings it out very, very clearly. Because he said, now what is going to happen, as I told you last time, the nations will be split, those which are for and those which are against. And I suspect there will be a lot more that are against, you know, God than those that are pro-God. And now that doesn't mean that all the people in those nations will be righteous people born again and so on. No, no, no. It just means that the people in that country will have taken a hold. I mean, the children of God in that country will have taken a hold of the country and steered it in a certain direction where there is a fear of God. And the scripture says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, that means that, of course, there will be rebels even there, but even the rebels, because the nation generally has taken the direction of God, even the rebels will be partakers of that blessing at that time, because this is a judgment of nations, not a judgment of people. The judgment of people will come at some stage later, but first there has to be a judgment of nations. And this is where the split is happening right now. First the nations, and then, you know, the people ultimately. Now, this this is what he's saying. So the Lord answers Habakkuk and tells him that there is a time coming, okay, when people will see all these things and know that the period of the wicked prospering and trampling on the righteous has come to a conclusion. Then I'll read from chapter 2 of still the book of Habakkuk and verse 9. It's just a 3-chapter book. The first one is he's asking him about the current time. Then the second one is asking a more prophetic for a longer period question, and God answers him accordingly. Then the third chapter is basically about him praising God, having known the righteous judgment of God and having understood how God actually judges. Now read from Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 9. It says, "Woe to him who covets evil gain for his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of disaster. You give shameful counsel to your house, cutting off many people, and sin against your soul. For the stone will cry out from the wall, and the beam from the timbers will answer it." Now here he's talking about a certain group of people, and now we've seen them. We're talking about now, the time in which we are living, where certain people are planning, to take over completely take over the gain of the whole world, and they are putting up all sorts of systems to control the world using pandemics, forged so many fake pandemics. Some are real, but then the ones which are real are not easy to use to control people. Okay, but a pandemic like coronavirus, which is very political, and it can swing one way or the other. When they want you out of a place, I've known people who stood and said, "We are not going to do this." Then they say, "You tested positive for COVID." Then they take you away. Now, it's an easier way of taking you away without doing so many other things. So now, if you come and you're a big threat to this, you test positive for COVID. Of course, it's all rubbish. Okay, not all the COVID tests are rubbish. But my point is, for the most part in Uganda, most of them, even the death, is all fake. It's fake, fake, fake. Okay? Now, so it's being used politically. When you want to trample on churches, COVID. When you want NRM elections to go on, no COVID. When you want, you know, and all that, you know, just a means of, you know, dividing in people and so on. So you look at all these things and then you realize that these people have gathered up wealth for themselves. Gathered up wealth for themselves. Now, this is where the judgment of God, this is what he's talking about. They have gathered up wealth for themselves. And, you know, they are going to keep it. And they are saying, our wealth is our security. Here is how we are sure that we are going to be secure. And I'm talking about people across the world, you know, in different things, who are plotting a lot of, you know, the New World Order and giving down, you know, instructions for people to follow. Now I'm telling you that all these things of what you should open, now you can open the airport, now you can open 70 people in churches, these are not instructions of our president. He's just a stooge. He's just like a pawn in a very huge game which is much bigger than him. When the coronavirus came, it was supposed to be something that would affect Europe and the Americas and mostly the Northern Hemisphere. And it was not supposed to be something that would cause us to lock down our economies. But you see, because they do not want us to be prospering while they are, you know, they are on a standstill, so they go and get money and force our governments to take loans to fight coronavirus. And as soon as our governments take the loans, then they tell them that, okay, now you have to lock down for 3 months. Now do this, now do that. The truth is, this would be a period when we should have been making a lot of ground on the people who actually suffered coronavirus. But because of bad leadership and corrupt leaders, now schools in Europe, almost all countries in Europe, schools are back. You know, children are back to school. And there is no report of an increase in spread of coronavirus. I'm talking about Europe, where there are actually cases, not Uganda, where there are fake cases. Okay? But Uganda, where there are fake cases, they tell you, keep your schools closed. It is not the president by doing this. He's being ordered, but they give him the money. And now money he can't resist because we know he's greedy. Now, they give him the money. He takes the money. Then tell him, now lock down your people. Now, this is a period where we should have been making big gains. Now, by refusing to take the money, the loan money, Tanzania said, no, we don't want any COVID money. And then they went ahead to declare themselves COVID-free. And they have continued to be a sower in all these COVID, fear mongers. Because there are football matches going on and that, so wouldn't people be dropping dead? Of course, now everybody, Tanzania has shown people, even Sweden and Europe has shown people that the whole thing is fake. But I'm saying that in this year, this would have been the year where we make giant strides on all the people who have had an advantage over us. But they would not want that. They don't want you to be progressing while they are locked down because they are supposedly superior. They don't want that. So what do? They make a use of corrupt leaders like ours. Okay? And they say, take money, take money, take money. We don't even want accountability. But meanwhile, they are not giving you free money. They are giving you loans, which you are going to have to pay. But because the loans, of course, you can use the loans to do what? To buy motorcycles, for, I know that, campaign and so on. So this is these are the people. So they are piling up riches for themselves. Now, in the time when we are locked down, our neighbor who decided that for them they are coronavirus free and we have not seen people dying. There was a time when the propaganda was saying they are burying people at night. I don't know where that died. You see now, for them they have moved over, they have become, you know, they entered middle income status while we are locked down. And we are going deeper and deeper and deeper into a mire. Of course, all because of bad leadership. But then the bad leadership starts from the top, from the New World Order people. Certain people who want control and have seen the coronavirus as one of the best ways to propagate their desire for control. And I told you how they kept on saying, you know, we shall release you when we flatten the curve. Then the curve got flattened and actually started falling very, very fast. And then they said, no, we shall only release you when we have a virus, or rather a vaccine is what I meant to say. Now, after some time, then the World Health Organization said that, no, even when we have a vaccine, we shall not release you fully. We shall release you after you've all accepted that there is a big thing called climate change, and you've accepted all the climate change regulations that will come. Now, of course, if you believe the whole climate change thing, now I'm not saying there is no change of climate, there is, but the whole climate change thing is about the role that human activity has in forcing the change of climate. And so on. Now, if you believe all that, then they are going to have to tie you down. You can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, because we have to protect the environment. And so on. It's just a means of control. And now, of course, what they're interested in control. And now, there is a feeling among even believers that these people are so powerful, you know, the whole, you know, the tech companies which are now closing down, you know, voices of people, Christians and so on. Now they have become very powerful, they are very rich, they are untouchable, okay? They are very untouchable. They cannot be touched. The Facebooks, the Googles, you know, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, very powerful, untouchable. But the Lord has something for that, by the way. And they are not as untouchable as they might seem, even to some believers. Because there are many believers who are convinced that these guys, man, you just dare not touch them. You just flow with them. You cannot stand up against them. And I've seen so many people even who do not believe that. I was seeing people consenting, dissenting is what I meant to say. Dissenting people in Hollywood saying that they cannot come out and say what they truly believe, otherwise their careers are going to be destroyed. Now you can hold people in fear for only so long. Now even in Hollywood, people have come out saying this whole thing is fake and so on. Now there is a limit to how much you can, hold people down in fear. But the Lord has an answer for them. Chapter 2, verse 12. Now, this speaks actually about the time in which we are living. I'm reading from the book of Habakkuk. Chapter 2, verse 12 says, "Woe to him who builds a town with bloodshed, and who establishes a city by iniquity." Now, this is also talking about some of the people in this country who have gone and through bloodshed, through sacrifice of children, and through what, have gone and, you know, built for themselves a lot of wealth, and have established cities on iniquity. Then he says, "Behold, it is not of the Lord, it is not of the Lord of hosts, that people labor to feed the fire. The nations weary themselves in vain." They weary themselves in vain. Now, this is what he's saying. They have done all these things, these nations, to keep themselves up there and to keep certain people down. But the Lord says that all they are doing is fueling the fire. They are feeding the fire. Okay? There is a fire. They are feeding the fire. Then he goes on to say that they wear themselves in vain. They are wearing themselves out in vain. But now verse 14, he says, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God, of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." Now, this is a prophecy for the time in which we are living. Of course, this has never been true at any one time. Because he says the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. Okay? The whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Now, he says, as the waters cover the sea. Of course, we know the waters cover all the sea. Now, what does this mean? This means that this time in which we are living, God is going to distinguish those who are for him and those who are against him. And now those who are for him, I'm talking about nations, first of all, are those nations that are for him will enjoy a period of prosperity unlike any other. And it's going to be very clear cut that everybody knows the only reason this country is prospering is because they have the power of God, because they have chosen the path of God. And those which choose to go down the path of injustice, which choose the side of the devil, will begin having their prejudgment here on earth. Now, that's how everything happens with God. Before there is the ultimate judgment of where they go, you get a judgment of what you have chosen here on earth, when you're here on earth, before you actually go and receive it to the other side. So you set up a trap, the scripture says, and you actually fall in the very same trap. You set a trap, you fall in it. So you come up with something which is supposed to be for other people, and for you, you're supposed to walk past it. And the next thing you know, you're the one who has fallen in it, and the people for whom you set it up have walked past it. That's the thing. So the key thing here is you have to, everybody has to understand that there is a judgment which is coming. And now he says the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Now, for this to have happened, there has to have been a period of darkness. First, darkness. Now, that means that the darkness that we are facing right now, where certain people think they are in control, but the Lord leaves them be, the same way he did with Judah. This is his style, by the way. The same way he did with Judah. And Habakkuk, the prophet, was asking him, why is it that the unjust seem to be the ones prospering? And the righteous are the ones who are being trampled on. Then the Lord says, you leave them alone. Their time is coming, and his time for them to judge them is coming. Now, this is the same thing right now. Now, these people who have brought all this misery, do not think that certain people are going to use money and use corrupt governments like ours to block the church of God and to block people from going and worshipping their Lord. And they do not suffer the same punishment that Pharaoh suffered in the book of Exodus. They are going to suffer that punishment because the Lord is God. And those people who serve the devil want to push, propagate a theory where they are in control. But God is looking. And I'm telling you, we are going to sit right here on earth. We are nations. Now, how is the whole earth filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord? Here is how. When somebody sees this country chose the path of God, instantly they develop and they become very rich, very prosperous, freedom reigns and everything reigns. Then they say, now this country chose the path of unrighteousness. And immediately everything goes haywire. They are the ones who have natural disasters. They are the ones who have all manner of things, you know, earthquakes, what? Because that is a prejudgment and it is the judgment of God. But before the ultimate judgment comes of the great white throne, there is, you know, a prejudgment at a time when they can still repent, or at least a few people in them can repent. There is something of a precursor of a judgment. Now, these ones who have chosen the path of God, before even they get to heaven, there is a precursor of that in the form of a powerful blessing, filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord here on earth. Now, this is what we are going to see. Now, when I was studying this and understanding what this means, I was led somehow to go and it just came to me, just scripture landed, and the Lord was showing me something which is in the book of Isaiah, actually chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, which also speaks about, I didn't know. I was just praying in tongues and then the scripture popped up in me, which also speaks about two things. First of all, the judgment on Assyria. Assyria, I've told you before, when the scripture, I think Psalm talking about the Antichrist, he speaks about the Assyrian. So he's always called the Assyrian. Even in the book of Daniel, he's called the Assyrian. So the Antichrist system. So he says judgment on Assyria. And then he also talks about the blessings that are going to come with those countries which have chosen to go away from the system of, you know, of the Assyrian. Then he said, so the whole book actually talks, but here is the blessing. Here are some of the things which I read here, which were interesting. Isaiah chapter 30, I'm reading from verse 23. He says, then he will give the rain for your seed. Now he's talking about this era in which we enter when, I'm sure, of course, our country being one of those which will go in this direction of the fear of the Lord. Then he will give the rain for your seed with which you sow the ground and bread of the increase of the earth. It will be fat and plentiful. In that day your cattle will feed in large pastures. Likewise the oxen and the donkeys that work the ground will eat cured fodder, which has been winnowed with the shovel and the fan. There will be on every high mountain and on every high hill rivers and streams of waters in the day of the great slaughter. Now listen to what he's saying. It's a day of great slaughter. But then he's saying there's going to be all this blessing. What does he mean? Then he says, I'll read that verse again, verse 25. There will be on every high mountain and on every high hill rivers and streams of waters in the day of the great slaughter, when the towers fall. Now, this almost is contradictory, because in 1 minute there is going to be rivers and, you know, the cattle are well fed and the people are well fed and there is fat and plentiful. You know, everything is, you know, the increase of the earth. But then in time when he says when there is a great slaughter and the tower falls. Now, which tower? It's a symbol of the Tower of Babel, which was the Antichrist system. Of course, we know Nimrod is the first of, you know, the Antichrist, somebody who leads the whole world in rebellion to God. It was actually the same spirit of Nimrod which will occupy the Antichrist, and it has come through different people in varying measures. But I think Nimrod, really, nobody has had it to the level of Nimrod, from, of course, Genesis 11. Others have had it in bits and pieces. The Assyrian king, even the Babylonian kings, even others who have come after that, all the way up to Hitler, have had that spirit in varying degrees, just a bit of the spirit. But now the person who will completely embody that spirit will be the actual Antichrist. He will not have it in percentages. He will have it 100%, that spirit, but which has been manifesting in different people throughout the, you know, the generations. And we know a number of them. In the book of Esther, there was Haman, that rise against him for the hatred of the Jewish people, a manifestation of the Antichrist spirit, and others who have come along. So now here he says the towers have fallen, that tower, that Babylon, that tower falling. But then while it is falling, there are people here who are rejoicing. Okay? There are people who are being blessed. Now, those countries that move in a certain direction, and I know some of them which will definitely move in the direction against God, they will suffer, and they are there thinking that they are developed. And they are there thinking that, you know, they are all this. But there is going to be a turning around, and it is all going to be the hand of God, and it's going to be instituted in a matter of just a few years. I'm talking about the whole turning around, where this year, these countries are the ones which are great. And then in a matter of, let's say, 2 or 3 years, the whole thing has tumbled on its head, and the once great countries are now under increasing judgment. And the things they have been talking about, climate change, floods and all that, and blaming all this, which actually were a part of a judgment, will increase and increase and increase and bring them down to their knees. But yet actually the scripture says they will not repent. They will just continue actually cursing God the more, even as they see that the countries that have chosen the path of the fear of God are being blessed. So pray for your nation, that your nation ends up on the right side, that you are not taken up in the judgment of the wicked. So you pray for your country and say, oh Lord, I pray that Uganda or whichever country it is you live in does not end up this side, but ends up the other side, you know. So this is what it says. It says, likewise, I'll read that verse 25 again. There will be on every high mountain and on every high hill rivers and streams of waters in the day of the great slaughter. That's this, and when the towers fall. On the one hand, there's a great slaughter and the towers are falling. On the other hand, rivers, plenty, cured fodder, fat and plentiful, you know, increase of the earth. So that all that depends on which side you've taken. Now listen to what he says. Moreover, the light of the moon. Now these are for us who will have chosen the path of God. Moreover, the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun. Brightness. You know where you say, quote the scripture and say, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Now here he's saying, in that period, you know, weeping endures in the night when there's darkness and joy comes in the morning. But now he's saying here, the brightness of the moon will be like that of the sun. So what you would have considered joy today, you know, in the morning, will actually be considered weeping that time, because there will be a lot more joy. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Because now you say, weeping at you are for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Okay? Now he says, but at night, the moon will be bright as the sun. So even the time of weeping at night will actually be almost like, you know, joy. But then he says, then what happens during the day? If the night is all that joy and as bright as the moon is as bright as the sun, then he says the next line, and the light of the sun, now this is the day, will be sevenfold. The light of the moon will be like the light of the sun, but the light of the sun now in the morning will be sevenfold. Now this is not talking about, you know, sevenfold heat and all that and so on. No, it's just talking about how sevenfold joy. Weeping endures for the night. No, actually at night it's bright now, so no weeping. So there is, let's say, little joy at night and then seven times joy in the day. Now this is what he's talking about here. And the light of the sun will be sevenfold as the light of the 7 days, in the day that the Lord binds up the bruise of his people and heals the stroke of their wound. Now what he is saying is they have been wounded by being denied the opportunity to go and worship. They have been wounded by denied so many things. In so many ways that his people have been wounded by the people of the Assyrian, the New World Order, who serve the Assyrian. and who believe they have control over all the things of the world. But the Lord says, the whole earth shall be filled. The whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of, with the glory of the Lord. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord. He does not say the whole earth is filled with the glory of the Lord. No. Because that already happens, you know. You read that in the prophet when, you know, it says the whole earth is filled with the glory of the Lord. No, this is different. This is saying the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. Because right now, the earth is full of the glory of God. But we can't say that there is the knowledge of it, because we can look, when we look around, we don't see that people of necessity understand that we are living in the time of the glory of God, even if we are. But then, there is a time when that glory shines so brightly and separates people, those who are for God and those who are against God. And then now, the whole earth has to be filled with the knowledge of His glory. In other words, even those who refuse to believe in it, those who refuse to acknowledge it, will know that the only thing that separates this nation from this one is the glory of the Lord. So they know about the glory of God. Now, that doesn't mean they will stop serving the Assyrian. No, they will actually proceed, because there is something that happens when people make up their mind, by the way. And there is something so powerful about people making up their mind. After that, they become impossible. It becomes impossible for them, okay, not impossible, but very difficult for them to change, because they dig deeper and deeper in, and they double down on their beliefs. Even if the Lord comes and shows them that, you know, you can actually turn around and enjoy this blessing, they say, no, we'd rather do it this way. We've chosen the path of the Assyrian rather than the path of Jehovah. I'll read that verse, last verse again, verse 26. I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 30. It says, moreover, the light of the moon will be like the light of the sun. How glorious is that? And the light of the sun will be sevenfold what it currently is, as the light of 7 days. So it says, in that day the Lord, in the day that the Lord binds up the bruise of His people and heals the stroke of their wound, in that day these things will happen, and we shall see them. And He also says, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In other words, the whole earth will be full of it. So does that mean the whole earth will acknowledge it? No, it doesn't mean that by any stretch of the imagination. Will they all receive it? No, they will not receive it, but they will acknowledge it, because it says the whole earth, as the waters cover the sea, because everything, the earth will be filled with the knowledge, where they know that this is the glory of the Lord. Second Psalm, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. Now, this is what we are seeing today. Some people, some nations, some powerful people taking counsel against the people of the Lord and upon against His, you know, His righteous people. Then it says, he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. He shall speak to them in His wrath and distress them in His deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. So they plot this thing against the Lord. They plot this thing against the church of God. Remember, this is the body of Christ. So what they are doing actually is they are, what you know, in boxing, what you'd call the body blow, when you give somebody a body blow to weaken them. So what they are doing is they are giving Jesus Himself a body blow, as if to weaken Him. Let's see if this church, you know, if people after 8 months, 10 months, even 1 year perhaps of not congregating, they'll still be interested. Now, what they are believing is that after 1 year of people being cut off the routine of going to church on Sunday and maybe going to worship on other days and so on, or to fellowship, that they are counting on the fact that after 1 year of all that being taken away, people will have moved on. And then they say, now churches are open, and people say, we are no longer interested. Let me tell you, actually, that scripture I've just read for you you're going to see it fulfilled. Even those who had not had any interest in church will all flock, because the light of the sun will be the sevenfold. You will see how people will flock into churches in their droves, even those who had no interest in it before. We'll say, now that they have opened, now we are going to church, we are going to worship. Because you see, there is something about when something is there and it's freedom, you can't go to church, you may or may not. Now, at some stage you realize that this thing has been done. So they want to extinguish it, but actually they are going to cause the sun to shine sevenfold. And, you know, it's going to happen where people come to church in their thousands, where you find even, you know, churches which had people in their hundreds are now beginning to grow and grow. And then they say, how can we stop this avalanche of people running to churches? We thought we were extinguishing them. We thought that by closing them, people will eventually forget about church and go about other things. No. Then it actually happens the other way. So this is the sort of thing that the Lord is doing in our period, and you're going to see it, and it's going to backfire against them. Because, you know, usually, all the time, the Lord does things in a way that he makes the devil die in his movie, if you know what I'm saying. Like, the devil thinks he's in control. It's almost like the cross, where he gets Jesus, and then, you know what, turns the whole Pharisees, the whole of the children of Israel against him, crucify him, and you know, you can almost see the demons there. It was almost actually very well demonstrated in that Mel Gibson movie, The Passion of the Christ, where you see the devil moving around and saying, yeah, man, crucify him, crucify him. And he's thinking that he's in control, and he's thinking that when Jesus dies, man, he will breathe a sigh of relief. And he doesn't know what is hitting him. He has no idea what's going to hit him. Because now Jesus dies, and the next thing he knows, the same Jesus who has died storms into hell and tells him, now give me the keys of death and Hades. You've been stripped of everything. Your power over man, which you received when Adam listened to you and rebelled against God, is taken back, because a man, Jesus Christ, has come and lived 100% for God. Okay? So what the victory is, that Jesus was a man born of a woman, and he lived 100% of God. So the devil's control over man, which Adam gave him when he committed treason by disobeying God and handing his authority to the devil, has been taken away. Now Satan says, I thought I had conquered this man. No, you hadn't. So, and always, that's how the Lord does it. The devil thinks he's in charge, and yet actually the Lord is just letting him die in his movie. And that's how it actually works. So he dies in his own movie. Then the next thing he knows, okay, he has taken the keys of hell and Hades and so on. Then the next thing he understands, there is Pentecost. And now where there was one Jesus, there are all 70, 120 Jesuses, you know, so to speak, all over the place. Shadows are healing people. There's a whole move up, turning the whole place upside down and what. Things which Jesus, in his natural ability, in his natural power, being one man, could not do. Now, he has been replicated in so many men, and now they are turning the whole Roman Empire and turning it for Christ. And the devil is like, man, had I known, maybe it would have been better to just have Jesus here, because at least as long as he was here, he was one man. That's why the scripture says, unless a seed dies and falls, it abides alone. But when it dies and falls, it multiplies. So by dying and falling, first Jesus spoke that speaking, talking about himself and his own death. So by dying and falling, it multiplies. So this is the same thing. So you get into a period of, you cannot congregate, what? And so he thinks he's in control. Yeah, now no church, no worship, no this, no praying for the sick, no what, for 7 months, 8 months. Then you don't know what hit you. You turns around, and now even the few people whom you had deceived, all of them are flocking to the house of God to find solutions, because the Lord is manifesting powerful solutions. So, but I want you to know that it was necessary for this darkness to happen for us to appreciate the light. Because if the darkness had not come, would never have appreciated the light when it comes. There are people who would never have appreciated. Of course, there are those people who are happy, and because they don't want, they will never ever be interested in anything that God does. They have made up their minds. And those ones are not the ones we are talking about. But there is a darkness that was necessary for us to appreciate the light that God is bringing upon us. Now, that's why in Isaiah chapter 60, he says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Then he goes on to say, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. Now you see, verse 2, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. I don't think there has been a time where darkness has covered the earth so visibly as in all this pandemic, you know, COVID thing and so on. Because this is where now they are pushing hard. They are pushing hard. And by the way, these people are really determined to push hard. Now seeing the Grammys, the awards, where they are pushing very hard on their old theme of, you know, fighting political wars and so on. And they are, the whole thing is turning on its head because people are switching off the Grammys at record levels. So they failed, the viewership fell in some cases 33% from last year. Why? Because they are so political. And people want to go to the Grammys to watch entertainment. But the people who are all winning are giving political speeches. So they say, we've had enough of you people. We have our own political opinions. We do not want you to use entertainment to indoctrinate us politically. Just entertain. Stay in. So Hollywood is suffering. Seriously, by the way. Sport is suffering. Basketball numbers have dropped significantly. American football numbers dropped significantly since they started those things of taking the knee. Dropped significantly because people want to go there to watch sport, not to be indoctrinated over political things. And these are facts, by the way. You can go and check them out. Then it says, for behold, the darkness shall cover. And by the way, I'm glad that even the Premier League chucked Black Lives Matter and said they are not a genuine organization that is fighting to end racism, because they are very toxic. And actually, so the Premier League dumped them and dumped the whole taking the knee. So now you're not going to see it, or the whole Black Lives Matter thing, they have chucked them. But you see, what that shows me is how people can turn the world around when they have money. Because all that is money. All that making Premier League clubs kneel down and what, it's all money, George Soros' money. And I'm not saying that because I don't believe Black Lives Matter. Don't get me wrong. I believe that movement is up to something totally different, because the people who are funding it are all white. George Soros is Jewish, and he's funding it. And is it because, like, no, there's something they are plotting. They are using it as a power grab to get power. But we have gone through the period of darkness, and we have seen what darkness can do. So we've gone through that period. Now we are going in a period of light. The period of darkness is wrapping up, and now we are going to be a period of light. And now that light is not going to be the light that we had before. It is going to be brighter, seven times the sun. I remember I read for you that scripture in Isaiah chapter 30. The sun will shine seven times brighter. And then it says, but now I'll read again from Isaiah chapter 60 verse 2. It says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness shall cover the people. Or deep darkness, the people. But the Lord will rise over you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. Now this is the glory that we are talking about. The whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. Now there are some people who have been saying, no, now the rapture is about to happen because of this darkness. The rapture is not going to happen when the church is in darkness like this. I mean, really, that would give an impression that God is not in control and his people. God has to first rise up in his people. And the whole world sees that his people are on top for certain scriptures to come to pass. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2, 3, you know, shall come to pass in the last days that, you know, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be above all other mountains. But the same scripture, almost the same words, word for word, repeated in the book of Micah chapter 4, verse 1, 2, and 3. So all those scriptures have to come to pass. And we have to see it. But this darkness had to also come to pass. And then it says, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Then it says, the Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. Now this is where we are going. This is what we are talking about. But I'll go back to Psalms chapter 2 and read this scripture and show that he who sits in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall hold them in derision. He shall speak to them in his wrath. Those people who have want to think that, you know, they're in control. Verse 7, it says of Psalms 2, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son, you are my begotten son. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. Now, here is what we are doing. As a country, we ask of him, and he gives us the nations for our inheritance. So as a believer in Uganda or Kenya, wherever it is you are, you ask for your nation and say, Lord, our nation is not going to be put among the goat nations. We want to be among the sheep nations, the nations that have chosen to follow the path of God. So the church in that place speaks, they pray, they obey the voice of God, and then their prayers cause a change of leadership away from wicked men to righteous men. And then the righteous men make decisions that align, first of all, with Israel. That is very important. And then when they align with Israel, they fall easily into the sheep nations, and therefore the nations that shall be blessed with the blessing that I spoke to you about, increased blessings, incredible blessings, which we read from Isaiah chapter 30. So this is what he says: ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. Oh Lord, I ask you for Uganda. I'm speaking the way every believer should be praying right now. We ask you for Uganda, that the leadership, that we end up in the sheep nations, and we claim our country for Christ, for God. We claim our country for the Lord, and our country will stand on the path of God, not on the path of wickedness. And you pray like that. Then he says, you shall break them with the rod of iron. That's the other one, okay? You shall break them with the rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like potter's vessel. Now therefore, be wise, O kings, all presidents, all leaders, all people. Be instructed, you judges of the earth, you leaders of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Now this is the commission to all the leaders of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Because if you do not serve the Lord, you end up in a time of judgment. And it's going to be severe, and it's going to be right here, and it's going to be in a time not too far away from now, where everybody sees this nation is under judgment, and the judgment is written all over it. I pray that our nation is not that way, and ours is those that are under blessing. It says, now therefore, be wise, all you leaders. If they are not wise and the church under is wise, then the leaders are removed for the sake of the church. He says, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are those who put their trust in him. That is Uganda. That is my prayer, that we are one of the nations that put our trust in him. And that should be the prayer of every person who listens to this message, from wherever it is you listen it, for your nation. And you don't have to have a majority. God is not dealing in democracies. You only have to have a church that knows this and prays and say, we are not going to be of those who are disobedient to the voice of the Lord. Now, perhaps one more scripture if I have the time. But I will say this: if you want to join us if you want to listen to all the other messages that have been preached in regard to this and all the other ones, everything that I've preached, it is so simple: www.ugwatchman.com, ugwatchman1word.com. Go there, you can download all the messages. Very light, you don't need a lot of MBs, they are very light, and you can even listen to them right there off the website. That's not going to take you a lot of MBs. We try to make them as light as possible. If you want to sow a seed into this ministry, you can do that as well. And we really encourage you to do it, because we need to be taking this message across. And of course, when you sow a seed, you're not donating. We're not asking you to donate. We're asking you to sow a seed. When you sow a seed in the ground, you're not donating your seed to the ground. You're actually doing it for your own benefit. So I want you to understand that you can sow a seed towards this ministry and you receive a major increase. Now, if you have anything that you are pursuing as a person, perhaps in a business or something you want to achieve of yourself that is of a financial nature, I trust you just sow a seed and then believe God for an increase. That's how we live our lives, and that's how the Lord instructed us to live our lives, and that's how I expect you who are listening to live your lives in regard to finance. Now, the numbers I want you to use, you can find everything on the website if you prefer that way, but the numbers, if you want to use mobile money or Airtel money, the numbers you use for mobile money, which is MTN, it's 0780-292-555, 0780-292-555. And for Airtel money, it is 0755-292-555, 0755-292-555. In case you didn't get those numbers, you can go to the website ugwatchman.com. All those numbers are there, and you can use them and sow a seed towards this ministry. Thank you so much for listening. God bless you. Have yourselves a wonderful evening.
That was The Watchman. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email, info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. The Watchman, the King is coming.